Psalms 2, please, the second psalm, and that's where we're going to start tonight. It's not where we're going to finish, and, you know, I'll tell you what Elizabeth Taylor told her last husband. Don't worry, I won't keep you too long. I'll try not to, at least. I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of God's Word, and let's read Psalm 2, and we're going to read the first nine verses. And I want you to think about America. And I want you to think about America in relation to this prophetic psalm. This is one of the most prophetic psalms in the Word of God. And I think it's interesting that it's even quoted in the New Testament, and it's called the second psalm. So the idea that the Word of God was not broken down into chapters and verses and so forth, like those who criticize the King James Bible say, doesn't have any basis in fact, but let's begin to read, and I'm going to ask you to read every other verse. I'll read the first verse, you read the second, I'll read the third, and then you the fourth, etc. So we're going to read all the way down to verse 9. I'll begin. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. And dear Lord, as we think about America tonight, and where we have come after being a nation blessed of Almighty God, we know that we have turned from the way that our forefathers established this nation upon. And you promised, just as you've given many promises to the believer, you've promised that one day you would set everything right. And Lord, we're looking forward to that day. In the meantime, we may go through some difficult times. We don't know when exactly you will come back. It seems as if we've gone just about far enough, but your plan and purpose will come to pass at exactly the right moment in time. We ask now your blessing upon this service. I pray that you'll guide and direct me. Help me, Lord, as I bring some things to the attention of God's people, that they'll be in sync with the Word of God and what is said here from this pulpit. And I pray that you'll not allow me to say anything that I should not say, but I pray that it'll be both an encouragement to God's people and also be a warning for America. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Now, did those handouts get given out, Bob? Okay. Anybody didn't get one that wants one? There you go. Right here. Are there any more? Okay, right there, Bob. Okay. Anybody else? Right over here. Your family. Are there any more? There aren't any more. Here. They've got an extra one here. Okay. All right. One more here. Okay. Okay, while you do that, I have to do something here that I forgot to do, so. All right. Looks like everybody's here and ready. I call this God's broken contract with America. And I believe God has blessed America. Aren't you happy to be an American? Aren't you glad that you weren't born some other country? We've got a lot to be thankful for, but there are certain conditions that God has laid out in His Word, in His contract with any nation. And when the nation breaks God's contract, then there are consequences. There is a price to be paid for turning our back on God. For the last 40 or 50 years, America has been turning its back on God. It started out with something that seemingly didn't seem too consequential, which was getting Bible out of the public school system and getting prayer out of the public school system. Now, I'm from the old school, and I was in school when I was young, but now I'm old, and I've seen the change. We used to pledge allegiance to the flag, and now in some schools they can't do that any longer. We would start every day with a Bible reading from a King James Bible. Now they say, of course, well, we couldn't do that because there are so many different versions. Which one are we going to use, the Catholic Bible, the NIV, the XYZ, whatever? We always read from the King James Bible. And then we had a word of prayer and asked God to bless our day in school. Children who grow up today in a public school would never know anything about the Bible. In fact, they're taught against the Bible in many different areas. Now, God also made a contract with Israel one time. And this contract with America has been broken, and God's contract with Israel was likewise broken. God gave the nation of Israel His commandments, and they broke that contract. And there were great consequences to be paid. Now, if God does not judge America, then He apparently is going to have to apologize to the nation of Israel, because when they broke their contract, there were horrendous consequences that took place. So they broke the contract with God. Any contract with God means that you give your assent that this is God's word and that you're going to be obedient to what it says. That's basically the contract that a nation makes with the Lord. If a nation does not do that, as many nations in the world have not done that, and I thank God for America's past, and we'll say more about that in a moment, but any nation who has not made that kind of covenant with God has reaped the consequences. We're not the only nation under God's hand of judgment over the centuries. Now, if you remember, in George Washington's farewell address, he said this: religion, and by that he meant the kind of old-fashioned religion that we believe in, religion and morality are at the heart of true patriotism and essential to our national survival. He was the first president of the United States. The second president of the United States, John Adams, said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other." And then, of course, he also said this. He kind of was speaking to the people who were alive at his day, and he said, "Posterity," he was talking about their future. He said, "You will never know how much it costs the present generation to preserve your freedom. I hope you will make good use of it. If you do not, I shall repent in heaven that I ever took half the pains to preserve it." That was the second president of the United States. The fourth president of the United States, President James Madison, said, "The belief in a God all-powerful, wise, and good is essential to the moral order of the world and the happiness of man." These are the foundations upon which America was built. All of these men, by the way, this morning we talked about the one who said, "Give me liberty or give me death," and that was Patrick Henry. He was not a president, but a great patriot. I don't know whether you can read it. I guess you can read it. It says, Thomas Jefferson said, "The democracy will cease to exist when you take away from those who are willing to work and give to those who would not work." We all know where America stands right now in relationship to that statement. Now, over in the book of Daniel, I want you to turn there, please. This will be the only other area that I'll ask you to look at. In Daniel chapter 5, I want you to see the basis for this message and how a nation turned its back upon God and the consequences that were paid. It says in Daniel chapter 5, "Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple, I want you to get that, of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. Now, verse 5 is a very important verse. It says, in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. And we know, of course, about this event that took place, and I want to apply it to our situation here in America tonight. First of all, I want you to understand that Israel now is under the judgment of God. They've been carried away into a foreign land because they've broken their contract with God. And the temple has been robbed of its vessels, and they're being misused and abused and in a blasphemous way. Go over to verse 24, if you will, please. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, that is God. And this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. And it says in this passage, this is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Now, Israel broke her contract with God. She's under captivity. She's being judged by Almighty God. And America now is in the same situation. We have broken our contract with God. We were a nation founded upon this book. This book used to be taught in the public school system. This book was not only just used to open the day, but even before my generation, this book was used to establish the curriculum in the public school system. And of course, we've abandoned that. America, like the Medes and the Persians of Daniel's day, have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. That's the interpretation of that saying that was written on the wall. So the handwriting is on the wall for America. And that handwriting means that God is weighing us in the balances, and he realizes that we've fallen short of our contract with him. The prophecies concerning America and other nations who abandon God are very crystal clear in the scriptures. Let me give you just one. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Are we forgetting God? Then are we exempt from this condemnation? Absolutely not. All the nations, whether it's America or Rome or any other nation you can think of, all the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. In other words, there are consequences to our decisions. Not too long after they took Bible and prayer out of the public school system, we had another... I don't know what to call this, a judicial decision. Remember, I said the Supreme Court's job is not to make laws. The Supreme Court's job is to interpret the Constitution in regard to any event that occurs. But back there, and I forget what year it was, but I remember clearly what happened. Somebody decided that it's okay to butcher babies to the tune of 4,000 a day. That's what is presently, America is presently engaged in. And God says he will judge those who shed innocent blood. You cannot get any more innocent blood than that of an unborn baby. And by the way, it's not a piece of tissue. It is not just a fetus. It's a little child. And any true scientist has to admit that that which begins in conception in a mother's womb is a child, a living being with a soul, a never dying soul. And now we just slaughter them by the thousands. One thing I appreciate about the Catholic Church is they try not to let anybody forget how many babies are butchered in America over a period of years, and they put those little white crosses out in front of the church so everybody driving by, every one of those crosses represents a million babies' deaths, and they're unfortunately they didn't get a funeral. By the way, here's another prophecy of the Scriptures. At one instant I shall speak concerning a nation, God said, and concerning a kingdom to build it and to plant it. If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now that isn't just about Israel, that's about any nation. And God says, when the nation does evil, you can't get much more evil than where we are right now as an official declaration from the Supreme Court, and an official declaration from the White House and the Congress and the Senate and so forth and so on. And I want to be clear about this. This is not a political slanted message. I believe in telling the truth, and truth is based on principle. And what I'm going to deal with tonight is not about Democrats and Republicans or this administration or that administration. Every administration in the last 40 or 50 years has been causing this nation to slide downhill. So it's not just the present one or the last one. It's a number of administrations, and we're on that downhill slide. Now, let's start the message off with this statement. Number one, America has a new declaration of independence. Because America has declared her independence from God. As we once declared our independence from England and the nations of Europe, we have now done the same with the Lord and His holy word. By the way, I want you to understand something. Everything is about this book. Your future is about this book. This nation's demise is about this book. Everything is about this book. This book is sacred to God Almighty. These are His words. Jesus Christ is called the Word of God because He is God spoken out in a human form. He is the Word of God. These are the words of God. And we are responsible for what's in this book. And our nation once declared itself as standing upon the foundation of the Word and words of God. That's no longer true, of course. We've abandoned the God of the Bible and substituted the God of this world, Satan. 2 Corinthians calls him that. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, our present president said this: America is no longer a Christian nation. By the way, I'm not criticizing that statement. I believe he's basically right. But it's been going away from being a Christian nation for many years. Now, that does not mean that I accept Islam or any other religion, quote unquote, to take Christianity's place. I'm simply saying that it is true in many areas of our nation's life that we are no longer a Christian nation. But up until this past few years, we would not have been able to come out and say that without a hue and cry from the vast majority of people. But now, a statement like that goes without any criticism. We are no longer a Christian nation. What does that mean? That means that other influences have taken the place of the Bible, God's holy word. We've taken the Bible and every mention of God and the King James Bible and Christ out of nearly every facet of our life in America, not just in the public school system. Of course, that's where it begins. You know, Adolf Hitler had it right. He said, if you get a hold of the minds of little children, you can change a nation in a generation. And that's true. By the way, he also said this: if you tell a lie loud enough, big enough, people will end up believing it. If you repeat it over and over again, they'll finally come to accept what it says. We've even changed the A.D. You know, when we would cite a date, we always say, you know, 2015 A.D. Well, now that's no longer true. A.D., by the way, is a Latin phrase, Anno Domini, which means the year of our Lord. But now, in the public school system, it is CE. 2015 CE, which is the Christian era or the common era. So we've even tried to remove God from our calendar. It's as if the crucifixion and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ never existed. And that's the purpose of all this. Now, here's a real problem. I call myself a Bible believer. Now, I'm a Baptist by persuasion because I believe that's the closest thing that we have today based upon the Word of God. Sometimes, you know, I think churches get to the place where they say, well, you know, we're not too many. God's people have always been in the minority. But God works with a minority. He doesn't work with the majority. He works with His children. And unfortunately, there are Bible believers that, by the way, I prefer to be called a Bible believer than any other term. I hope you're with me on that. Now, some Christians like to be called fundamentalists, and I understand what they're saying, but what does that word mean? How many fundamentals of the Bible do you have to believe in order to be called a fundamentalist? A Roman Catholic priest could probably sign a document and say, well, I believe in those 5 or 7 or 12 fundamentals of the faith. They believe that Christ was born of a virgin. They believe that He died on the cross of Calvary. They believe in many of the things that so-called fundamentalists claim that make them Bible believers. But that's not what makes you a Bible believer. Every doctrine in the Word of God is the possession, or should be the possession, of every child of God. So we call ourselves Bible believers, not just fundamentalists. We don't just believe in a few things. The problem is this. Many so-called Bible believers who used to believe the book are afraid now to come out and take a stand on the book because the neo-evangelical crowd, the new evangelical crowd, have changed the meaning of much of Scripture. They say that the first 11 chapters of Genesis are not literal. Well, I got news for you. How many of you were here when we did the creation series? You remember when we had the live dinosaur up here on the platform?
Amen.
We did. It's the truth. And if you weren't here, shame on you because you missed it. But you could have had and actually touched a live dinosaur. Now, there's a problem here. And that is that all of these things that remove us from the Word of God and water down the Scriptures and don't want people to understand what God has to say, cast a doubt upon the Holy Word of God. And that's where our faith rests, ladies and gentlemen. Without the Scriptures, we are nothing. We're like a goose in a snowstorm, flying without any direction. We don't know where we're going. We can't see anything. That's exactly like any believer, so-called, who doesn't believe the Word of God. By the way, what do you prefer instead, NIV? I call the NIV, not the New International Version, but the non-inspired version. Let me ask you a question. This is important. Are you NIV positive? I hope you're not. I'm KJV positive. Amen. And I hope you are as well. Now, let me ask you a couple of questions along this line. The first characteristic mentioned concerning Satan was his subtlety. That means he's a sneaky character. And the first question in the Bible was uttered by Satan. And it attacked the Word of God. Yea, hath God said? And Eve went right along with it. By the way, all the problems in this world were caused by a woman. Well, unfortunately, God blames the men. God says it was Adam's fault, not Eve's fault. He shouldn't have followed his wife. I believe he did it out of a heart of love. Maybe his motives were right, but his actions were definitely wrong. And by all the new versions do the same thing. They say, yea, hath God said. As I mentioned this morning, I just finished a course on the manuscript evidence for the King James Bible. And one of the things that we found in doing that course is we traced the history of the King James Bible all the way back to the original Scriptures. And what we have are not only the Word of God, but the words of God. And that little creed that I had my students recite before each class ought to be embraced by every believer in this room if you call yourself a Bible believer. And that is, I believe that the King James Bible is the inspired, inerrant, infallible, and indestructible, and preserved word and words of the living God. I hope you believe that. Could you say amen to that?
Amen.
All right, amen. Then we're in the right place tonight. Now, America has adopted the doctrine of evolution and rejected the Bible doctrine of creation by joining forces with the atheists, the communists, the Muslims, the liberal Protestants, the Catholics, the humanists, and the religious leaders in rejecting the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. And they say they were not literal. Adam and Eve were not real people. It was just a nice story. But that's not the case. And every Bible believer knows that that's not the case. Now, here's the problem. If you believe in evolution, then you believe you are an animal. Just like a dog, a cat, or anything else. And the reason why America is acting like it is because they've been brainwashed to believing that they're just like the animals. If you are an animal, you act like the animals. And that's why this Supreme Court ruling on same-sex marriage went through, and many so-called conservative Americans were applauding. And the White House was bathed in multicolors, symbolizing the rainbow and the elimination of the male and female relationship in a sacred matrimony that has been recognized, first of all, by the Bible. By the way, it wasn't Adam and Steve, it was Adam and Eve. And we need to keep that distinction. And what has taken place is that the Supreme Court has become a law-making body. And they have no business doing that. That's not why they were put in that position. So America has a brand new declaration of independence from God. But it gets worse. It's all about independence from God. And that means, therefore, no one is accountable.
Amen.
You see, if there is no God, then there's no sin. And so anything goes. I made the statement this morning, and you can put my name and today's date alongside this statement and write it down, that same-sex marriage is now considered the law of the land. I believe the next logical step and the next step that will take place, unless we are raptured, will be animal sex or bestiality. The Bible condemns homosexuality. Let me just say this. Every nation that has embraced homosexuality has gone into extinction because of God's judgment. Every revival that has taken place in the Bible, the first thing they did was get rid of the sodomites out of the land. We are embracing homosexuality. That's one of the main things that caused Rome and the Roman Empire to fall. Homosexuality became rampant in the Roman Empire. And by the way, we're on the way to the same place in history that the Roman Empire now holds. And the Roman Empire, by the way, started out as a republic, not as a democracy. And they had a lot of good things that we adopted into our Constitution. But now we have thrown away not only the Declaration of Independence. By the way, former Bible believers have become fundamentalists or even evangelicals. And they have rejected the King James Bible. And so my question is God dead? Did God stop breathing? Because the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And that inspiration means the breath of God is on this book. So did God stop breathing? No, God is not dead. He's still alive and well. Unfortunately, we've been thumbing our nose at God for too long. Yea, hath God said? That's what the devil wants to do. He always wants to place a question mark on the Word of God. So, America has a new Declaration of Independence. And here are some examples. If you look at the top of these blocks, the Bible gives us the very meaning of life. And now life has no meaning because of abortion. We are just slaughtering babies wholesale. We used to have standards in America that were built on the Word of God. That's why ladies dress like ladies and men dress like men. And that's why all these distinctions that have been wiped away now are causing America to go downhill. And the next step, of course, has to do with getting rid of marriage and the biblical concept of marriage. So now we have homosexual behavior being applauded by people who ought to know better. But they get on the side of the homosexuals because for years now we've been brainwashed by television and Hollywood and so forth and so on. And homosexual behavior has become recognized as okay. We have certain laws that were originally based upon the laws of the Word of God and the commandments of Scripture. And now we have lawlessness in the land. The most recent evidence of that kind of lawlessness was found in Baltimore. And I don't care whether the police were right or wrong in that situation. All I can say is that no mayor or no governor of a of the city of Baltimore, where I used to live, by the way, had the right to tell the police to just let them burn and loot. And that's lawlessness. If we don't have, we are a nation of laws. And as soon as we get rid of laws and policemen and all proper authority, we're going to go downhill fast. And that's where we're headed. Now it's God's word have been taken over by man's opinion. It doesn't matter what God says, it's all about what man says. And then, of course, everything is based upon this concept of creation versus evolution. Either you believe that there's a God in heaven who created everything, or you believe that we are nothing more than protozoa and amoebas that evolved over the centuries or the millennia. My granddaughter is about 1 month away from having a baby, her first child. And she's had two miscarriages. And they thought at first they weren't going to be able to have a child. They've only been married like a year and a half. But now she has a healthy baby growing in her womb. And every month she posts on her Facebook page a picture of the growth of the baby in her womb. And it gives you all the details. I don't know who made this up, but it gives all the details of how big the baby is and what new, you know, the eyes are now open and now the baby can hear sounds and so forth and so on. It gives you all that. And anybody be a fool to believe that it's all about evolution? There's no greater miracle than to see a baby. I never forget my first child. My oldest daughter, Crystal, was born, and for me to hold that baby, that brand new miracle in my hands, was just one of the most exciting events that has ever transpired in my life. And then after that, we had three others. By the time we had number four, I didn't even go to the hospital. No, that's not true. But this is what you see up here. This is the problem in America. And we have declared our independence from God, and we've said, no, God has nothing to do with this world. It all evolved. But that's not all. Number two, America has a new constitution. And this new constitution says, instead of "we the people" in the preamble, it reads "we the government." It's not about the people anymore. They don't care what we believe. It's about the power of the government. And the more power we give to the government, the more horrible our lives will become. Anytime you invest the power in one man or a group of men at the top of the authority and take more and more responsibility from the people that they're supposed to judge and guide and direct, that's when the nation crumbles. Now, I believe that's where we are right now. Many of the politicians in D.C. are not just liberals, they're socialists. You say, well, I don't know what that term means. Well, let me give you some help here. Socialism is what Nazi Germany was all about. It was the National Socialist Party. Communism is nothing more than socialism. And, of course, there's always a ruling party and takes all the power away from the people. You take away their guns. There never would have been a Nazi Germany if everybody was armed. There never would have been a Joseph Stalin if everybody in Russia was armed. But the first thing that were Cuba, for example, another example where we are now in bed with Cuba and opening up our embassies with Cuba. By the way, Cuba hasn't changed. The Castro brothers haven't changed. Nothing has changed for the people. The people are at the mercy of the government. And that's what socialism is all about. Socialism is a centralization of government powers over the citizens of a nation. Now, the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution has to do with the unreasonable search and seizure of property. Now, you've all no doubt heard about Waco, and you've heard about Ruby Ridge, where unarmed women and children were killed by our government, but you probably never read about this little item. And I'm going to just kind of read it to you to show you that America has a new Constitution. One day, a SWAT team with semi-automatic rifles entered the private home of the Stowers family in LaGrange, Ohio. They herded the family onto the couches in the living room and kept guns trained on the grandparents, their daughter-in-law, who, by the way, whose husband was serving at that time as a U.S. Navy CB in Iraq. Their children and grandchildren for 4 hours had guns trained on them in their living room. The team was aggressive and belligerent. The children were quite traumatized. And at some point, the bad cop SWAT team was relieved by another team, a good cop team, that tried to befriend the family. The Stowers family, I want you to get this, had run a very large, well-known food cooperative called Manna Storehouse on the western side of Greater Cleveland for many years. There were agents from the Department of Agriculture present. One of them identified as Bill Lesko. The search warrant is reportedly suspicious looking. Agents began rifling through all of the family's possessions, a task that lasted hours and resulted in a complete upheaval of every private area in the home. Many items were taken that were not listed on the search warrant. The family was not permitted a phone call. They were not told what crime they were being charged with. They were not read their rights. By the way, if somebody raped somebody, they always read their rights. How come this family, who's totally innocent, did not have rights, any rights at all, read to them? Over $10,000 worth of food was taken, including the family's personal stock of food for the coming year. All of their computers, all of their cell phones were taken, as well as phone and contact records. The food cooperative was virtually shut down. There was no rational explanation nor justification for this extreme violation of constitutional rights. Presumably, Manna Storehouse might eventually be charged with running a retail establishment without a license. Why then the Gestapo-type interrogation for a third-degree misdemeanor charge? This incident has raised the ominous specter of a restrictive new era in state regulation and enforcement over the nation's private food supply. You say, well, you know, that's just one instance. No, that is an example that is being set, and it's a precedent that is being set in America. By the way, I call the IRS the intrusive, repressive society. I hope you understand that the IRS is an illegal organization to begin with, and that income tax is something that is also illegal. Before I go any further with that, don't go out of here and say, don't pay your income, that Pastor Fidena said, don't pay your income tax. You know, the man who is called the Dinosaur Man, which is by the name of Kent Hovind, he did not, he refused to pay income tax, and he did so rightly based on the fact that it is an illegal tax. As a result, he was sentenced to 53 years in federal prison. Now, murderers and rapists are out in 10 to 15 years, but he's sentenced to 53 years, and then his wife was likewise sentenced, and she joined him in prison. That's where we are in America, folks. This is a repressive society at this point. And under socialism, you're no longer answerable to God, but to government. You know, I look out over the folks in this room tonight, and I feel bad that some of the others did not come back. And they may have legitimate reasons, I don't know. Maybe they're visiting another church. That's what one lady told me. She missed this morning because she was visiting another church. But we won't say who it is, will we, sister? No. Now listen, it's still America, and we can do that. But please listen to me. I wish that every member of this church would hear this message and understand that America, right now, it is not something in the future. It's America right now is under the judgment of Almighty God. If you don't believe that, you have your head buried in the sand. This same-sex marriage rule that just got established by the Supreme Court of the United States is just another indication that God's judgment is on America. Another nail in America's coffin, and probably the final nail in America's coffin, is this: that America as a nation has turned on its friend, the nation of Israel, the only ally we have in the Mideast. We have turned our back after centuries, after decades of supporting Israel from 1948 when they became a state. We have supported the nation of Israel. And now, under this administration particularly, we have dissed the nation of Israel, and we're trying to forge some kind of a deal with the rogue nation, Iran, and trying to keep them, this is a joke, trying to keep them from building nuclear weapons. And of course, a deal hasn't been reached, and any deal that is reached, they're a bunch of liars and crooks. And part of the deal is that we will not be able to inspect their military installations. Well, then the whole thing is a joke. And Israel refuses to go along with that. And as a result of that, the present administration is turning its back on the nation of Israel. Two great truths will determine the future of the United States in the coming days. Those who will not be ruled by God will be ruled by tyrants. That's truth number one. If you refuse God's righteous rule, then somebody will take God's place in the life of a nation. Number two, the only thing men learn from history is that we never learn from history. All we have to do to check if socialism has ever worked is to look at every country who's tried it, and they've all gone down the tube. And yet, we are moving in that same direction. By the way, here's the definition for insanity. Insanity is when people repeat the same mistakes over and over, expecting a different result. We're an insane nation. I like what Lester Roloff used to say. America is now a mental institution run by the inmates. And I believe that's just about where we are. Only it's not mentally impaired people. It's highly intellectual people who are running us into the ground and causing us to move toward socialism. The freedom of the press and religious freedom guaranteed by the First Amendment of our Constitution is being taken away by the so-called fairness doctrine, which is totally unfair, and by the ecumenical movement, where the government only recognizes certain groups of churches that belong to the National Council of Churches. The right to bear arms of the Second Amendment is being gradually eroded, and ultimately, the ultimate object is to take away all arms from the people. The Bible Believer's Constitution must still be the King James Bible. Are you listening? But America has a new constitution. Not we the people, but we the government. Thirdly, and lastly, America has a new Bill of Rights. These rights are dictated by political correctness, not God's word or common sense. Now, God expressly, and I want you to get this, expressly condemns racism.
Amen.
I like what our brother said this afternoon just before the service. He said, you know, when I look at a person, I look at a person. I don't look at the color of their skin. I don't look at their national origin. I look at them as a person. And that's the way God expects us to look at people. And so God condemns racism. He condemns homosexuality. In no uncertain terms, he calls it an abomination. He condemns bestiality, the next step in our downward plunge. Public nudity. By the way, there are laws against running around naked. But in Los Angeles last week, when the same-sex marriage became law in the United States of America, they had a parade of people on bicycles, men and women, completely naked, and not one person was arrested for indecent exposure. What they should have done immediately after they arrested everybody was to burn all of the bicycle seats that they were riding on. I think that would have been proper. I certainly wouldn't want to ride on them after those people. Political correctness is an attack. Some are just getting it. Hold on, they'll catch up. Political correctness is an attack on the First Amendment right of freedom of speech. Let me give you another example, and this can be multiplied many times across America in the last few years. A Christian high school graduate, the valedictorian of her class, was not permitted to give her address to her class because she mentioned God and Jesus Christ in the speech. Preachers are being muzzled against advocating a political candidate. And yet, some preachers, and I don't care if they're Democrat or Republican or what they are, but some preachers, like the Reverend Jesse Jackson and the Reverend Al Sharpton, can come out in public and say whatever they please, but if I do it or your pastor recommends that you vote for a certain person who's running for office, you can be jailed for that, and that's called political correctness, and it's wrong. It has always been the tradition of American Bible-believing churches to try to get the people to elect people who are of good moral value standards, who don't, by the way, I will never, never vote for anybody who believes in abortion. I will never vote for anybody who promotes homosexuality. Oh, by the way, those beautiful colored lights on the White House when the Supreme Court made that decision for same-sex marriage, you and I paid for those lights. Were we asked, did anybody call you up and say, is it okay if we spend your money like this and waste your money in promoting homosexuality? No, that didn't happen. By the way, maybe you better not tell the preacher what I've been preaching about today. Now, one of the earmarks in the trillions of dollars economic stimulus package, quote unquote, prohibits, get this, and new churches from renting public school property to get started. By the way, those schools, the public schools, are supported by our tax dollars whether you want to or not. It used to be that most churches started in public schools. Now with this economic stimulus package, there's a prohibition in there that says no longer can that take place in America. America now officially stands with Muslims against Israel. Our problem is this, that we misunderstand that Islam is not just a religion, it's a political movement. Did you hear that? Our nation's leaders must understand that this is a political as well as a religious movement, and you can't separate the two. These people are fanatical based on their concept of what they call their scripture, namely the Quran, which is nothing like this book. Our Lord Jesus Christ is called the Prince of Peace. Muhammad was anything but a Prince of Peace. And the Quran tells every Muslim to kill Christians and Jews. If you have a neighbor who is a Muslim, you better keep one eye on them. If they believe and read the Quran, then they want to kill you. And they are committed to killing you. That is part of their agenda. ISIS, the Islamic State, which is taking over the Mideast, they have one objective, and that is to make Sharia law in every part of the world and fly the Muslim half-moon flag the flag of Allah over the White House of the United States of America. And I don't see us doing anything to stop that. Our president said when he was recently in Turkey that America will never go to war against Islam. Well, they're at war with us. What should we do? Shouldn't we fight back? Just like in Korea and Vietnam, we entered that conflict without a desire to win the war. He said, the future does not belong to those who insult the prophet of Islam. What about the prophet of Christianity, the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it okay to insult him? That happens every day in America. And so our president, our sitting president right now, made these two statements. These are not distorted or taken out of context. This is what he said. You say, well, you're just taking a shot at the first black president of the United States. No, no, no. Listen. This man is an intelligent man. There's nothing wrong with his brain, but there's something wrong with his heart. He needs to get saved. That's what's wrong. He needs to get his heart changed, and so he needs a heart transplant. Here's what Jeremiah had to say. He said, I am with thee, he's speaking of Israel, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee. By the way, The second most populated nation in the world where Jews reside is here in the United States of America. He says, I am with thee, Israel, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee. Yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. The nation of Israel has been under God's judgment for centuries now because they thumbed their nose at God. Do you think God needs to make an exception for America? No, he won't. He'll have to apologize to Israel. But the fact of the matter is, he said he will not make a full end of Israel, but he doesn't promise that for America. He says, in fact, if we go back, I am with Israel, but he said, I will make a full end of all nations. Listen, that includes the United States of America. I preach many prophecy conferences and prophecy messages and have done so here. In those prophecy messages, it is crystal clear from the scripture that God will make an end of America and that America is not mentioned in the prophetic scriptures. Why is that? Don't you think a nation as great as ours should be mentioned in the Bible? It doesn't happen. And I believe it's because we will no longer be a nation recognized because God will eclipse this nation. Now, I don't want to leave you on that note. A lot of negative things were said from this pulpit tonight based on the Bible. And if you don't think I used the Bible, then you weren't listening carefully. America has broken her contract with America. America has been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Just like that land where they saw the handwriting on the wall. I believe the handwriting is on the wall for America. And if you can't see it, then you're not reading your Bible carefully. The Bible doesn't say there's going to be a nationwide revival. The Bible says in the end times, things will wax worse and worse. Not evolution, but devolution. And as we reject God and His laws and His principles and His Word, then God has no alternative but to eliminate the power of once proud America. By the way, Brother Charlie, I appreciated your song. And I too love the greatness and the beauty of this nation. But I'm afraid for the next generation. If God stays His hand, no, let me back up and say, if God does not stay His hand, I fear for the next generation. I fear for the children in this room. I fear for your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. I have 11 grandchildren. I have 4 kids. One is in heaven. 11 grandchildren and 6 great-grandchildren and another one on the way. And then I'll go to heaven because I want to see number 7. The fact of the matter is, America is in big trouble, and the handwriting is on the wall. The handwriting says, thy kingdom is given over to the heathen, just like it was in ancient Babylon. So, what's the solution? If we can stay the hand of God's judgment, number one is our responsibility, our God-given obligation to win as many lost people as we can. I was thrilled with the number of people who raised their hands this morning and said, I gave out a tract this past week. And others who raised their hand and said, I spoke to someone about the Lord Jesus Christ this past week. That's encouraging. But not everyone did. Did you? Not everyone goes soul winning in our church. I don't know about you. My pastor is a soul winning fanatic. I mean, he dreams souls, sleeps souls. All day long, he's looking for somebody to witness to. And he witnesses to everybody he comes in contact with. He's one of those guys that can talk to anybody. And you say, well, you know, I'm not that personality. No, but you still have a command to be witnesses to everyone that you come in contact with. I know it doesn't look like it here tonight, but I'm an introvert. If it were up to me, I'd just go home, shut the door, get myself a good book and read, and never leave the house. But that's not the way I have to be. I have to do what God tells me to do. Part of my responsibility is to do my best to win the lost. Number two, you ought to support God's man. If God has called Pastor Gilmore here as your pastor, then you ought to support him. Amen, 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 Pastor Fedena. See, I amen myself. You ought to support God's man if you believe he's God's man, and he's God's man for this church. Number three, we need to increase our private and public devotion towards our Savior. We need to stand up and let our views be known, just like the homosexuals have done, and now have basically taken over America. You know, the percentage of homosexuals in America is something like 4 or 5%. And yet, they exert tremendous power. Think of what the people in this room could do if they just decided to go all out for God and just surrender to Him and began to be soul winners and support the ministry here and do everything they can to increase their spirituality by reading and studying God's Word. By the way, there's a command in the King James Bible that only appears in the King James Bible out of 233 English versions of the Scripture, and it is found in 2 Timothy 2:15 that says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's our obligation. And God uses His Word to stir our heart to do what He wants us to do. And so these are the things that we need to do to keep God's hand of judgment from falling completely on America. Believers are the only thing standing between God and His judgment of America. You're a believer here tonight. You have a great responsibility. And if God is going to wait just a little longer to cause America to go into eclipse, it'll be because of people like you and people like me. I'm going to ask you to stand, please.